Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom for the Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of the listeners who've supported us throughout the years and helped keep the radio stations going. I've had a chance to meet many of you face-to-face and enjoyed every minute of it. For two decades, I've worked hard to keep our service fast and our prices low, and will strive to keep going for another two. Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com have no commission salespeople, no free reports, and no complaints. Nobody here will call you when you sit down for dinner. There really is a difference. Call 1-800-951-0592 and find out for yourself. We look forward to serving you with years of experience. We know what we are doing and will make recommendations based on your personal situation. Call 1-800-951-0592 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, as every Friday morning, Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, to bring us up to date with what's really going on in the world, because, of course, the media is controlled. The media is shaping your reality. And here to clarify the truth about what's going on, Joel Skousen. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning, Stan. Good to be with you.
And we miss having you on Thursday. Would you be able to be doing our Thursday afternoon program, do you think, before long?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay, that's wonderful. Well, anyway, why don't we just cover this week's World Affairs Brief?
Well, Romney is already compromising. When the media applauds Mitt Romney's move to the center, conservatives should be worried that the Republican candidate sees their vote as less important than Latinos, independents, and liberals. Perhaps Romney's campaign thinks conservatives have no place to go, so our vote is less important to focus on. Sure, he's following political strategy 101 in courting swing votes in swing states, but the real question is, will Romney take a more conservative stance once elected, or will he continue down the path of compromise with establishment pressure? The historical precedent of the latter happening is almost certain, that is, that he will continue compromising. I have had some personal experience in this area. I went to Washington in 1983 to be the chairman of the newly formed Conservative National Committee at the behest of Howard Phillips and Richard Viguerie. It was an organization specifically formed by the old right in response to Ronald Reagan's pattern of succumbing to damaging compromises during his first term. A lot of new conservatives don't remember that period. They only remember that their hero is the greatest conservative president they've ever had. He might be the only conservative president we've had in the last 50 years, but his actual record is littered with compromises, including the first amnesty of illegals and the largest tax increase in history, which doubled the Social Security tax. Reagan, who I believe was not an insider and who had legitimate conservative instincts, compromised on almost everything, owing to, in large part, to the deal he made with insiders less than an hour after he won the nomination. He was pressured to accept a deal demanded by the heads of the three major networks to accept George H.W. Bush as his vice president and allow him to control personnel selection in his administration. That was in exchange for a pact that the media would, quote, look favorably upon Reagan's candidacy during the election. In other words, it was a veiled threat. If you relinquish control of your administration to our guys, we won't crucify you in the press. Do you remember that time, Stan?
Oh, I remember it very well.
Well, the media gave Reagan a hard time anyway and kept up the pressure for compromise during his campaign. They never let up afterwards. Romney's in a similar situation. He's got legitimate conservative instincts but has a very bad tendency to compromise in order to gain office. He's not an insider and yet has allowed himself to be surrounded by globalists who will control his direction just like they did Reagan. Will the media pressure and push polling against Romney be any less intense once elected? No, in fact, it will increase. Does Romney have any advisors that will lobby for the constitutional position? Not that I'm aware of. They're all either Bush Republicans or neocons. But despite a continual flow of claims by pundits on the right that Romney is a puppet of the establishment, Romney is not an insider, though it will make little difference to us if he continues down the same path in trying to please them. I need to repeat an important statement I made last week in the briefs, which includes a correction. Quote, the kingmakers couldn't have tried so hard to stop him from getting the nomination in 2008 and 2012 if he were one of them. In fact, he's not an insider, I wrote, and they resent anyone trying to get into the race with their own money bypassing their vetting process. Even more than that, they fear that an insider, that was the mistake, and I meant outsider, an outsider may see what an outsider may see about illegal operations while inside the White House that might not be so able to keep from a president who is no dummy, and Romney's no dummy. Lastly, they never pick insiders or puppets who aren't morally compromised or blackmailable. And Romney doesn't fit that mold either. That's what I said last week. Well, in contrast, real insiders who are part of the globalist conspiracy against U.S. national sovereignty have no compunction against lying to the public, promising them a conservative direction, and then betraying them afterwards. A few of my readers or listeners probably were around when Franklin Delano Roosevelt ran for president as an arch-conservative in 1936. He was lying, of course. He reversed every major position he had taken once elected and brought out his full socialist platform. Did the media call him a flip-flopper? Not even close. The media always applauds a liberal president's betrayal of conservative campaign promises, of course, when it's in the direction of big government that they support. And my take on the media is, while yes, they are liberal, they really aren't that way simply because they're leftist or liberal. They are that way because they're shilling for government. They're controlled by the forces that control the dark side forces in government that control both political parties. And I think that's why. They're only liberal because they're pushing a government agenda, and they're always giving extreme airtime to the government position. When they have, you know, a token opposition, it's someone who disagrees a little bit with the government position, but no one in the Ron Paul camp or your or my camp who would explain the globalist betrayals that we're really dealing with. Why can't conservatives do that, do this kind of compromise to get elected and then switch back? Well, first, because constitutional conservatives have principles and don't feel comfortable lying. And second, because the media would crucify him over a betrayal of their cause and demand a recall election if he were to turn around. Some conservatives naively hope that Romney is simply bending to media pressure in order to win. Once elected, he'll turn back to our core values and really turn things around. It isn't true. If anything, his sense of honor will require that he stand by past decisions, even when wrong, as he did with the individual mandate that he pushed through in Massachusetts. Well, this week, Stan, there are three major compromises Romney has made that please the liberals and are serious breaches of conservative values. Previously, Romney backtracked on his promise to eliminate Obamacare by saying that if successful in repealing it, his replacement proposal would retain many things in Obamacare. He's gravitating back to the same compromises he made in Massachusetts. This week, he said he had no plans to pursue new limits limiting abortion or new laws limiting abortion. He said, quote, there's no legislation with regards to abortion that I'm familiar with that would become part of my agenda. He may be pro-life, but what good is it if he doesn't defend the life of the unborn with strong new laws? Just one day after backing out of his commitment to fight abortion, social conservatives were outraged and blasted Romney with emails reminding him of his previous campaign pledge to, quote...
Hold that thought, Joel. Hold the thought. We'll be back in a moment.
On March the 3rd, 2005, KHNC 1360 AM was granted a license by the Federal Communications Commission to serve the public interest as a public trustee until April the 1st, 2013. Our license will expire on April the 1st, 2013, and we must file an application for renewal with the FCC by December the 1st, 2012. When filed, a copy of this application will be available for public inspection during our regular business hours. It contains information concerning this station's performance during the last 8 years. Individuals who wish to advise the FCC of facts relating to our renewal application and to whether this station has operated in the public interest should file comments and petitions with the Commission by March the 1st, 2013. Further information concerning the FCC broadcast license renewal process is available at the studios of KHNC Radio, 2 South Parish, Johnstown, Colorado, or may be obtained from the FCC, Washington, D.C., 20554.
Fact. Today, the national debt is more than $16 trillion. That's more than $50,000 for every man, woman, and child. Fact. After nearly 4 years in office, President Obama's policies have resulted in the worst economic recovery since the Great Depression. Fact. Over 220,000 Coloradans can't find work, and our unemployment rate is higher than the national average. Fact. Obama. We simply can't afford 4 more years. Mitt Romney has a plan. Listen.
My plan is to help the middle class in America. I want it to be the best time for the middle class of America.
Mitt Romney will repeal Obamacare and increase access to domestic energy resources. He'll cut taxes, cut spending, and champion small businesses, creating 12 million new jobs.
I'm Mitt Romney. I'm running for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Romney for President Incorporated.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, I guess, morning, Joel Skousen, discussing Romney's candidacy for the presidency. Go right ahead, Joel.
We're talking about the compromises Romney has made this week to please the establishment and the independent swing voters, the betrayal of conservative causes, especially difficult is his going back on his campaign promise to, quote, do everything in my power to cultivate, promote, and support a culture of life in America. So much for promises to conservatives. It seems that pleasing the establishment is all Romney really cares about. Also disappointing to conservatives who want to secure the border and stop illegal immigration is Romney's promise not to overturn Obama's illegal executive order, effectively granting amnesty to millions of illegal aliens who with arbitrary age and education requirements. The executive order is clearly unconstitutional and could be overturned on a number of grounds, not the least of which is that a president doesn't have the power to overturn law by such internal executive orders. At the very least, Romney could simply stop the process and start deportations again. This is clearly a compromise aimed at the Latino vote and points to a trend where Romney will almost certainly sponsor another general amnesty as part of a, quote, comprehensive immigration reform. But even worse, Romney evoked the image of George Marshall in his major foreign policy address this week at the Virginia Military Institute. Romney is a product of a flawed public education system where he never learned about the great evils pushed by General George Catlett Marshall, who was a VMI graduate during World War II and afterwards. Romney praised Marshall thus, of all the VMI graduates, none is more distinguished than George Marshall, the chief of staff of the Army who became Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense and who helped to vanquish fascism and then planned Europe's rescue from despair. In reality, Marshall is responsible for a crushing amount of despair as he pushed through the globalist pro-communist agenda in both Europe and Asia. Here's a small summary of Marshall's real legacy facilitating tyranny. Marshall held Patton's advance back so the Soviets could take all of Eastern Europe and half of Germany as per the secret Yalta Agreement. Marshall directed Allied bombers to purposely firebomb German civilian areas in Dresden and other cities, a war crime by today's standards. Marshall directed Eisenhower to implement Operation Keelhaul, where all refugees who fled Stalin's grasp from Russia and Eastern Europe and didn't want to return were forcibly repatriated to Russia, where they spent the rest of their lives in concentration camps. Marshall also knew that Stalin kept back an estimated 20,000 Allied prisoners of war when German POW camps were liberated, quote, liberated. Rather than release them, Stalin turned prison camps into labor camps. While the Supreme Allied Command negotiated for their return, most were never released by the Russians, and the U.S. State Department under Marshall refused to reveal this horrible war crime to the American public. Marshall presided over the cover-up of government foreknowledge of the Pearl Harbor attack in the official investigation. Marshall also gave the infamous order to cut off military aid to Chiang Kai-shek when Chiang refused to succumb to U.S. pressure to form a coalition government with Mao's communists, which always leads to a communist coup anyway when you have a coalition government with communists. This paved the way for a direct communist military victory over Chiang and his fleeing to Formosa. Well, do you have anything to add on George Marshall?
Turning Eastern Europe over to the communists as well is certainly a terrible, terrible crime, and then helping to finance the communist government of Eastern Europe, turning our plates so they could use print American occupation money, and then that we finance the communist occupation of Eastern Europe. General George Catlett Marshall was a globalist with an intense hatred of America, and you can't change that.
Well, a candidate like Romney, who's so ignorant of the evils in Americans' foreign policy history, can hardly be trusted to see through the sophisticated globalist agenda and the phony war on terror and the continual intervention of Muslim countries in the Middle East. Romney simply promises more of the same globalist intervention started by George Bush and continued under Barack Obama. If elected, he's going to become the worst and biggest warmonger in U.S. history. Reuters gives in Breaking Views column, points out that Romney's future war will be a budget buster. Quote, Mitt Romney's foreign policy doesn't match his thrifty approach to spending, the U.S. Republican president candidate said, Daniel Indonesio. On speech on Monday on foreign policy suggested George W. Bush-like intervention streak, another step for the party's pre-World War II isolationism. That could lead to more Middle East conflict and defense spending. It's also just as risky as Obama's, as President Barack Obama's stance, and just as unconstitutional. Well, even Senator Rand Paul, who endorsed Romney, got up some courage to criticize Romney's foreign policy. Quote, at times I've been encouraged by Romney's foreign policy. I agree with his call to end the war in Afghanistan sooner rather than later, and with his skepticism of and call for reform in foreign aid. But I am a bit dismayed by his foreign policy speech Monday titled Mantle of Leadership. Romney chose to criticize Obama for seeking to cut a bloated defense budget and for not being bellicose enough in the Middle East, two assertions which I cannot agree with. I'm glad Rand Paul's getting some stiffness in his backbone against Romney. Defense and war spending has grown 137%, he said, since 2001. That kind of growth is not sustainable. Admiral Michael Mullen stated earlier this year that the biggest threat to our national security is our debt. If debt is our greatest threat, adding to the debt by expanding military spending further threatens our national security. While I would always stand up for America and preserve our ability to defend ourselves, Paul says, a less aggressive foreign policy along with an audit of the Pentagon could save tens of billions of dollars each year without sacrificing defense. Unquote. Well, who's responsible for advising Romney toward this more bellicose agenda? The neocons, of course. Chris Good of ABC gave us a brief rundown on that. He said, Romney keeps a large group of foreign policy advisors, eight of whom, including Dan Senor, participated in the early neoconservative project for New American Century. Founded in 1997 and headed by none other than William Kristol, the nation's Ari Berman reported in May. William Kristol's the top neocon. He and his father started this movement, being social liberals, changed it to conservatives to be able to push an aggressive foreign policy, meaning that they're globalists, because that's what globalists do. In the same month, the New York Times magazine, David Sanger, reported on discontent within that big foreign policy team, with some complaining that Romney only listens to John Bolton, the former U.N. ambassador who under President Bush. Well, how could all radical neocons complain about him listening to John Bolton, who is the most radical of all the neocons? Certainly can't be complaining about substance. It has to be insider turf fighting. Well, Romney's rise in the polls is a problem for the powers that be, Stan. The latest Gallup poll puts Romney now in the lead over Obama by 49% to 47%. This is the same polling organization, like all the others, that was falsely promoting Obama by boosting his polling numbers by several points. That's called push polling. If they're showing a slight lead for Romney, the real edge by Romney is probably much larger. That's a problem for the establishment, and it means that they'll have to dig deeper into their bag of dirty tricks to stop him from winning. Electronic vote fraud can be manipulated up to 10%, enough to swing any close race to the preferred candidate. Right now, they're also polling, showing that, well, Romney may be polling in the higher in the polls that where he's going to win. In swing states, he's still not winning, and so he could still lose. And that's what they're counting on. They're going to use continued push polling. They're still looking for a major mistake for him to make. They can trump it to the moon. It's still too close to call.
What do you think of the Trilateral Commission has switched their support to Romney?
Pardon me, Stan?
Do you think that the Trilateral Commission is pushing Romney or Obama? Which is
the
Trilateral
Commission? They don't want Romney elected. They are preparing to control him. And he appears to be fully controlled. But as I say, it's a willingness. It's an ambition, to going along with his advisors that could change, just like Reagan pushed back on his globalist advisors when he, agreed to let Bush control his personnel. He pushed back, and they threw an assassination attempt at him to stop that. And he was very much compliant after that assassination. In fact, he and Nancy went to, some stargazers like Gene Dixon and others to try to secure their security rather than go to God. So Reagan wasn't the hero in my mind that he is to other people.
I know. I agree with you. Go right ahead.
The next story is Turkey is running a war of provocation against Syria. Defense Secretary Liam Panetta warns that the conflict between Syria and Turkey could turn into a regional conflict. And that's a good bet, I think, since the U.S. is secretly pushing Turkey to provoke Syria into a full-scale war between the two countries.
In fact,
that, in turn, will justify NATO coming into the rescue of Turkey, who is a NATO member. Reuters reports that NATO has drawn up plans to defend Turkey if necessary, should the war in Syria spill over their border, again, as dozens of people were killed across the Arab nation on Tuesday. Defend Turkey, ha. Turkey's on the offensive, not Syria. Consider this. Turkey opened harbors of safe havens and supply depots for the Syrian rebels. Turkey uses a disputed territory claimed by Syria for these operations, which is meant to entice Syria into a cross-border attack. One mistaken mortar round hits a house in Turkey and kills a woman and her children in the rebel stronghold. And Turkey uses this as an excuse to launch daily attacks against Syria, even after Syria apologized for the incident. Other claims of Syrian attacks on Turkey range from artillery strikes to aerial bombing. It's obvious that Turkey is using a possible Syrian mistake to start a war of provocation, hoping to elicit a major Syrian response that in turn will justify NATO's entrance into the war. One thing is sure, Turkey now is doing most of the attacking, hoping the Syrian military responses can be described as, quote, offensive moves rather than defensive responses. Kurt Nimmo of InfoWars added these details. He said Turkish citizens are opposed to escalation. They rightly feel that they're being drawn into something not in the best interest of Turkey, and they're absolutely right. Turkey continued shelling of Syrian targets on Sunday with what Al-Arabiya, a news outlet, describes as immediate retaliation after a mortar round allegedly fired from Syria hit the southeastern Turkish border village of Akkakale, where five civilians were killed last week. Akkakale is a key supply route for the CIA's Free Syrian Army and other so-called rebels. On Tuesday, the New York Times conceded that it's unknown whether the mortar shells were fired by the Syrian government forces or the rebels fighting to topple the government of President Bashar al-Assad. The Turkish response seemed to assume the Syrian government was responsible, despite inconclusive evidence. It looks like Syria apologized too soon. This was a case of a false flag mortar attack so that Turkey could blame Syria. Well, the United Nations Security Council condemned Syria for the incident, and on October 4th, Turkey's parliament voted to violate Syrian national sovereignty and authorize cross-border military operations without declaring war, of course, hoping that Syria will be will up the ante and give Turkey a reason to declare war for what it's now doing. Meanwhile, the AP reports that Leon Panetta is sending 150 troops to Jordan. The United States has sent military troops to the Jordan-Syrian border to bolster that country's military capabilities in the event. This is the government official spokesman talking. In the event that the violence escalates along its border with Syria.
Well, you know, Joe, what they're saying is we send American troops there to protect Jordan in case Syria attacks Jordan. Why would Syria, involved in a civil war, it's really not a civil war, because most of the people fighting are not Syrians. Most of the rebels aren't Syrians. They're Al-Qaeda, who I believe we are financing. I believe America is behind this whole thing. But we're sending our troops into Jordan to protect them from an attack from Syria. Why would Syria attack Jordan? That doesn't make any sense any more than Syria would attack Turkey when Syria is involved with this war, an outside war, where Al-Qaeda fighters are there killing the Syrians, and yet, of course, they're attacking Assad for this. Go ahead.
Well, that's right, and there are very few people who really think that Syria is going to attack Jordan. And that's why, you know, when the U.S. admits that they're monitoring chemical and biological weapons.
Hold the thought. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
If the IRS has turned your life upside down, Ameristar Tax Centers has a free, no-obligation consultation just for you. With proven experience, our former IRS agents are licensed to contact the IRS immediately for you, stop the collection activity, and get you instant help to relieve you from this burden. We guarantee not to charge you a penny unless we can help. So call for free information now.
800-519-6297. 800-519-6297. 800-519-6297.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
You have a clear choice between two very different visions for the future. With Barack Obama, you're looking at more of what got us into this mess. Mitt Romney offers a real plan to get America moving in the right direction again.
Let me tell you how I'll create 12 million jobs when President Obama couldn't. First, my energy independence policy means more than 3 million new jobs, many of them in manufacturing. My tax reform plan to lower rates for the middle class and for small business creates 7 million more. And expanding trade, cracking down on China, and improving job training takes us to over 12 million new jobs.
Mitt Romney will do what Barack Obama couldn't. It's clear we simply can't afford four more years of Barack Obama.
I'm Mitt Romney. I'm running for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Romney for President Incorporated.
Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. And before we go on, Joel, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to your newsletter, get your information, and get the books that you have written dealing with preparation for the very difficult times that lie ahead. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Stan. My World Affairs Brief is a subscription newsletter, news analysis service. It comes out today, every Friday, when they hear this broadcast. People can get a free sample copy of the complete brief. We only get to hear a part of it on this show by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com. On my other website, joelskousen.com, which you can get to from worldaffairsbrief.com, is a list and shows pictures of all my books and a description of them. I've worked under the philosophy for many years. We try to fight for our liberty, but we prepare if we should lose to preserve ourselves amidst tyranny. And that's why all of my books concerning the strategic relocation and building secure homes and retreats are very, very important for people. My top seller is the third edition, the new color map edition of Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, and just covers everything in great detail about how to find safe places in most states of the Union. There are three or four states like Hawaii, Florida, and New Jersey that just cannot be made safe very well. But, you know, I do give what possibilities there are in those places. The secure home is over 700 pages, and it deals with everything from A to Z about high security construction techniques, security systems, self-sufficiency systems, solar generators, just everything in one book. And all of these books could be had from Radio Liberty.
By calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, and Joel's books on the secure home and strategic relocation are among our best sellers. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, there's a North and South Korean arms race going on. South Korean media outlets report that the U.S. Army is sending its terribly effective M982 Excalibur artillery shells. These are kind of smart homing shells to the South Korean peninsula for use against North Korean artillery batteries, which periodically shell South Korean targets to test South Korea's state of readiness and restraint. The border between the North and South is extremely mountainous, but that protective feature enjoyed by the North will become a thing of the past with delivery of the Patriot PAC-3 and ATACMs, surface-to-surface missiles of U.S. Army bases in the South. PAC-3 is the most advanced missile in the Patriot lineup and is used largely to take out other incoming missiles, of which North Korea has plenty of. Here's a little background on the Excalibur shell. From Wikipedia Commons, it says, named one of the greatest inventions of 2007 by the Army, the Excalibur strikes almost vertically, hits within 13 feet of its target 92% of the time, and can be programmed to explode above a target or bury through or burrow through the concrete and find the target. The Excalibur is used by five other allied nations and is accurate up to 22 miles away, runs $54,000 a piece to produce, and is guided by both GPS and inertial navigation. Quite a weapon. Well, this is a big thing because, you know, North Korea has over 2,000 artillery tubes aimed at the South. They can literally obliterate Seoul with a massive barrage of artillery. And so having the Excalibur allows them to target those artillery. And the U.S. also has electronic tracking means whereby they can radar map the trajectory of an artillery shell and trace it exactly back to where it's firing from and send other artillery shells to destroy those tubes. But, you know, the North has an overwhelming military capacity just across the border in the demilitarized zone, and I fear that in an actual war that the 20,000 or so American troops that are stationed there are kind of stationed there as bait for this war, and the U.S. would have to pull out tactical nuclear weapons, artillery, and air power weapons in order to stop a North Korean rapid advance across the border. And that would, of course, give China and Russia the excuse to go to a full nuclear war if we made the first use of tactical weapons. That's why I've said for many years in my World Affairs Brief analysis that North Korea is being preserved as a trigger event for World War III. the extreme hypocrisy of having a nuclear-armed North Korea be guaranteed by the United States that there'll be no regime change, that we will not attempt to undermine the government, even while we attack Iran, which isn't even as close, anywhere near as close as North Korea in a nuclear weapons technology, indicates the extreme hypocrisy of the U.S. position. It can be only explained by the fact that North Korea is part of the long-term policy of globalists to build up communist enemies, as you have said so eloquently, building up the best enemy that money can buy, and attacking other less powerful enemies to provoke future war. And I think that's what we're seeing playing out.
I fear you're absolutely right. I think the average American finds it very difficult to believe that we are moving towards another war, but it's coming. It's not a matter of if, but when. Go ahead.
Well, this particular World First Brief has some tremendous information on people and historical background, as I've been covering. One of the big stories in today's brief is that Russia's cutting non-Luger aid ties. This is a very big deal relative to Russia's ongoing rearmament and its desire to shut down American inspectors in the country. It's also a major sea change relative to the Soviet ploy of faking their own demise and the phony collapse of the Soviet Union. The communists went underground, but are still directing Putin and Russia in order to gain even more Western financial aid. Now, the current announcement means that Russia's rearmament is becoming so visible that they can no longer afford to even fake transparency. This move to forego aid indicates the magnitude of Russia's need for increased secrecy in their weapons rearmament program. First, the story from Will England of the Washington Post, which is a semi-official government propaganda source. And I'll comment on this as they give the official government line. Russia has told the United States it will not expand the non-Luger weapons reduction and security agreement after it expires the end of next May, saying it no longer needs to receive foreign aid and is concerned about leaks of nuclear security information. Well, as I'm pointing out, there's a lot more to it than leaks of nuclear security information, which I'm not finding whole weapon systems the Russians are building. Here's the official view of this wonderful program funded by the U.S. taxpayers. Quote, the 21-year-old cooperative program was designed to help secure the nuclear and chemical weapons arsenals of the Soviet Union after the bloc's collapse, which I claim didn't happen. At a cost of about $500 million a year, the Nunn-Luger program has ensured that shipment of nuclear weapons out of Ukraine, Kazakhstan, and Belarus deactivated more than 7,600 nuclear warheads, destroyed 902 intercontinental ballistic missiles and 33 submarines, and secured 24 weapons storage sites. They also don't say that they also paid millions of dollars to undo the ecological damage from all of the biological and chemical weapons factories that have become obsolete in Russia, all the while saving Russia the money so that they could go build new factories underground in Yamato Mountain and other places, which I'll cover. Yes, the U.S. taxpayers dismantled all of those aging Russian nuclear subs and missiles. Eventually, Russia backed out of allowing the dismantling of many SS-18 Satan missiles that were on active duty status.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment here with Gold Scout.
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Respect and care for our seniors should be a prime concern for everyone in our community. Shouldn't matter what season it is. Keep an extra eye open for our seniors and check on them regularly, making sure they have what they need. Help with chores, visit a hospital or nursing home. Keep hope alive by letting them know someone cares. That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. That's Brush Housing Authority on the air, wishing everyone a great fall season. Trace Margaritas and Greeley would like to take this time to say thank you to all the brave men and women in the armed forces who have served our country. Know that your dedication, selflessness, and courage are appreciated. Business owners, consider hiring veterans, our most valuable resource. May God bless America. This message from Trace Margaritas, 2319 8th Avenue in Greeley. Call 378-6662. Proud to salute all the past and present members of our military service.
Well, Dr. Stan and Coach Joel has pointed out how we have certainly helped the Russians deactivate some of their older nuclear submarines. We also helped them build new and more aggressive nuclear submarines. We helped them deactivate some of their older nuclear weapons and build new, more aggressive nuclear weapons. Why would anybody do that? While we're building up the best enemy money could buy. Go right ahead, Joel.
Well, Richard Kelly of the Cato Institute posted this mid-program critique. He said CTR, Cooperative Threat Reduction projects, are giving Russia the tools it uses to store and deploy new strategic weapons, including rail cars, containers for fissile materials, and assorted heavy machinery. CTR aid will help, that's non-Luger aid, will help build an advanced nuclear storage facility, which will enhance Russia's ability to store and process warheads. See, a lot of people don't realize that even though the U.S. dismantled the warheads or the missiles from Russia, a lot of the missiles, 7,000 or so missiles, they gave all the warheads back to Russia. So we didn't really reduce the nuclear weapons. We simply paid for the dismantling of the older weapons. Essentially, CTR-funded projects are a U.S. subsidy of the Russian arms industry. Weapons makers may continue to manufacture weapons, some of which are destined for the international arms market, while using CTRA to convert other parts of their companies to civilian activities. That was the claim, of course. Similarly, Russian scientists employed at the Science and Technology Center are moonlighting at weapons development jobs and collecting two paychecks, one from the U.S. government for working on civilian projects and one from the Russian weapons industry. If that wasn't a good enough deal for the Russians after faking the demise of the Soviet Union, consider all those thousands of warheads taken off old missiles were returned to the Russians, not destroyed. The Nunn-Luger Pact did recycle most of Russia's nuclear submarine nuclear material into reactor fuel, but not the more dangerous weapons-grade uranium. It gets worse. The U.S. built the Russians a state-of-the-art nuclear warhead reprocessing facility called the Mayak facility in Ozersk in the Ural Mountains, about 25 miles north of Chelyabinsk, and about 100 miles north of Russia's largest underground weapons factory and bunkers at Yamantau Mountain. This can only mean that this weapons nuclear warhead processing facility is part of the Russian nuclear strategic plan of rearmament, not disarmament. And it was built and turned over to Russia. U.S. inspectors were locked out of it after it was completed and have not been able to ensure that old warheads are not reprocessed into new ones. And I'm sure they are.
I'm sure they are, too.
Watchdog, Bologna.org, described it. The 10-year-long, $400 million construction of the plutonium facility at Mayak will hold around 40% of Russia's weapons-grade plutonium stockpiles. But the Mayak project has been beset during those 10 years of construction with political, bureaucratic, financial setbacks, both from Russian and American sides, that at times appears insurmountable. Its completion, therefore, will represent a milestone in U.S.-Russian cooperation and literally burying the remnants of the Cold War. Well, of course, this was a kind of a pro-disarmament site in Britain. Unfortunately, we know that now isn't true. It has helped Russia rebuild weapons rather than bury all these remnants of the Cold War. Even back in 2002, when this was written by Bologna.org, U.S. officials realized that the Russians were going to block access to what we built for them. One possible delay, said Bologna, in the completion of the plutonium storage facilities that some senior U.S. government officials point to is that what they say are continued access difficulties imposed by Russian officials on U.S. inspectors wishing to visit the MIAC site. The U.S. has repeatedly called for more effective bureaucracy to govern such inspections, and in March, the U.S. government, I was talking about 2002, the U.S. government chief auditing body of the GAO issued a report saying Russia continues to bar U.S. officials from many nuclear sites despite a more liberal access agreement reached with Moscow in September of 2001. In other words, they're continuing to cheat. But what does the U.S. do? It continues to give them more weapons, more technology. And the only reason now that the U.S. or the Russians are rejecting this agreement is they value more the secrecy or keeping inspectors out than they do the aid. Nearby to the south is the notorious Yamato Mountain Complex, which is just north of Belorussia, Russia, where I believe the Russians are building entire missile factories underground. It is also close to Russia's remaining nuclear weapons lab, Chelyabinsk 70. U.S. inspectors have never been allowed inside Yamato Mountain, yet the Pentagon never issues a warning to Congress about these disturbing contradictions to U.S. attempts to believe Russian lies and engage in yet more disarmament with Russia. Former Times reporter Kenneth Timmerman gave the definitive description of Yamato Mountain when he said, some U.S. analysts believe the secret underground complex beneath Yamato Mountain betrays a lingering belief among top Russian leaders that they must continue to prepare to both fight and win a nuclear war. Russians say they still fear the U.S. Well, it's not that they fear the U.S. They fear U.S. retaliation, and that's why they're going to these great bunkers, retaliation when they do a preemptive strike on America. It is now known that the Soviet Union used secret underground bases in Eastern Europe to conceal nuclear missiles at the end of the Cold War as an integral part of its nuclear war fighting strategy. In all, some 73 SS-23 missiles packing a nuclear punch were hidden by the Soviets in the former, this was after the fall of the Soviet Union, they were continued to be hidden in the former Soviet republics of the Czech Republic and Bulgaria in violation of the INF Treaty, which went into force in June 1988. Yet the U.S. did nothing about this flagrant violation and signed even more agreements with the Russians after finding out. If war had broken out with those missiles, it would have given the Soviets an overwhelming strategic advantage against the United States, allowing them to decimate NATO forces in Europe. Well, guess what, Stan? Those missiles have been taken out of Czechoslovakia now that they were discovered, but where have they gone? They moved into Kaliningrad, the enclave that the Soviets demanded is just above Poland and below the Baltic states. And so you have a big enclave, an oblast, they call it a district, where they have all these nuclear weapons still aimed at the heart of Europe. Today, Russia may be conducting nuclear deception, says Timmerman, on a far vaster scale beneath Yamato Mountain, where it has dug out a gigantic underground military complex designed to withstand a sustained nuclear assault. U.S. intelligence sources quoted as saying that Yamato Mountain is but one of 200 secret deep underground nuclear warfighting sites in Russia, many of which have been significantly upgraded over the past 6 years at a cost of billions of dollars.
We're out of time, Joel. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sam.
Today, the national debt is more than $16 trillion. That's more than $50,000 for every man, woman, and child. Fact. After nearly 4 years in office, President Obama's policies have resulted in the worst economic recovery since the Great Depression. Fact. Over 220,000 Coloradans can't find work, and our unemployment rate is higher than the national average. Fact. Obama. We simply can't afford 4 more years. Mitt Romney has a plan. Listen.
My plan is to help the middle class in America. I want it to be the best time for the middle class of America.
Mitt Romney will repeal Obamacare and increase access to domestic energy resources. He'll cut taxes, cut spending, and champion small businesses, creating 12 million new jobs.
I'm Mitt Romney. I'm running for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Romney for President Incorporated.
I'm Eric Cederstrom for the Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of the listeners who've supported us throughout the years and helped keep the radio stations going. I've had a chance to meet many of you face-to-face and enjoyed every minute of it. For two decades, I've worked hard to keep our service fast and our prices low, and will strive to keep going for another two. Patriot Trading Group and AllAmericanGold.com have no commission salespeople, no free reports, and no complaints. Nobody here will call you when you sit down for dinner. There really is a difference. Call 1-800-951-0592 and find out for yourself. We look forward to serving you with years of experience. We know what we are doing and will make recommendations based on your personal situation. Call 1-800-951-0592 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Well, Dr. Stan here. You know, most people don't understand that Russia is the largest producer of oil and natural gas in the world. Why is that? Why, after the phony fall of the Soviet Union back in 1990, 1991, American corporations financed by the various government agencies, USAID, Agency for Development of East Asia, all of these government agencies financed American corporations that went over there and built the oil and gas wells that made Russia the largest exporter and producer of gas and oil in the world. Why did we do that? We had to have an enemy. That way we could justify a mighty military, all sorts of intelligence agencies here in America, spying on the American people in an effort to protect us from those wicked communists who we financed from their very inception. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to give you an understanding of what's really going on in the world today. Read our newsletters. They're up on the Internet, and we put many of them in little pamphlets, and you'll find those listed either on our website or in our catalog. Get the information, understand how we're building up our enemies in preparation for the coming war and the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. These things are happening. They're not happening by accident. They're happening by intent, and, of course, with this coming war, horrible loss of human life. But then these things are all prophesied, and read the Revelation. You'll see how they talk about, and I look and behold a pale horse, and the rider upon him was death, and Hades followed close behind, and power was given unto them to kill a quarter of the population of the world with the sword and with famine and with pestilence and death. And, of course, basically, of course, we had given all the equipment to build the chemical and biological weapons to Saddam Hussein. Saddam, who sent those weapons to Syria, they're sitting in Syria today, the chemical and biological weapons. And, of course, that's one reason we have our forces over there. If you heard Paul Ryan talking last night, asked about sending American troops into Syria, he said absolutely not, well, except to secure the chemical weapons. Who built the chemical weapons? We provided the equipment and the know-how for Saddam to build them. Well, how does any of this make sense? There are powerful spiritual forces behind everything going on today. Well, this is the time I need to remind you, this will be the last time. We are having a conference a week from Sunday here in the Monterey Bay area. If you can come, I promise you it'll be a great conference. We're bringing in speakers from across America. And, of course, we're going to start at 8:15. We're going to go through 6 in the evening. Outstanding speakers, outstanding time. If you'd like to come to the annual Radio Liberty Conference, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We have to have reservations because we're serving lunch, and we have to know how many people will be there. And our last day for signing up is Monday, and we're looking forward to it. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can read our newsletters. You can, of course, watch our DVDs. You can listen to our radio programs, and you can see the other things. We have a section up there on other videos on the web. The videos, I think, are important for you to have to understand what is going on today and the terrible times that lie ahead, and the spiritual implications of unfolding events. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 24 hours a day. You won't get much accomplished, but you'll sure learn a lot. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, protection. And until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you, and it's just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road.